Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. And again, we're going into our third study of our letter M, the second study in the letter M in the ABCs. And what we're studying is man, the measure of all things. Man, the measure of all things. That's something that man is man, the measure of all things. Well, we've been over quite a bit in our study, and I hope that you've been, usually give you these scriptures. As a matter of fact, this is the only one that I failed for the last two lessons to give you the scriptures that go along with this study that we've been, looking into God's Word as we move through the study. Usually I hand out verbally give you the scriptures after the lesson or just before we finish. And I failed to do that, and I'm sorry about that. I'll give them to you today, okay? And we'll just go down through them, and I just have you a list and a pencil set aside there, and I give them to you in order as the study goes. And that's the way that the scriptures run as we go down through the study. Now, I want to remind you, and I do have all these studies in written form and in classroom form, and they're fill in the blank as you go, and have all of the scriptures that go along with them, and they all run parallel to one another, and you can set them right down in front of you and listen to these audios, and it go, and these audios go right down through the study as you read them, and all the scriptures are there on another side of the sheet for you to look at as you go. So if you'd like to have them, I'd be more than happy to send them to you, and send them to you over the computer. You can just email me at Barnhouse Ministries, Barnhouse Ministries, at gmail.com. And just drop me a line there and say, Brother TV, I'd like to have those lessons, and whichever ones you want. And I've got them all the way A through Z in the ABCs of Christian Growth, and constantly adding new lessons to it. This one here is called Man, the Measure of All Things, but it's M2, and it's the second lesson in the letter M. And I've mentioned that to you before. So if you'd like to have them, just say so, and I'll send them to you. And I tell you, it'd really be a blessing to you. I think it's a blessing to me. I learn something every time I go back over these. And it would be a blessing to you, and you could keep them, and you could they're fill in the blank. You can use them for devotions for your family, for your children. It's simple enough. It's the simplicity of Christ and what the Bible teaches. And it's got all the scriptures there to back up everything that's being said. And you can not only be hearing it if you want to hear it and listen to these along with me, but you can also look at them with your eyes and also write it down with your fingers. And you got three different ways of learning and teaching yourself the Word of God and the truths of the wonderful Word of God. So let's get into our study today. Man, the measure of all things. We begin by talking about man, the past state, his beginning. And man was a wonderful, beautiful creation that God made. And he created Adam, and Adam, all other people come from his blood, and were created in their mother and father's image, from the seed of their mother and father. But all mankind originated from Adam's seed. And his past state, his original state, was he was created for God's pleasure and for God's glory. Now, if God creates something for his pleasure and for his glory, you can imagine, number one, God is perfect, and when he creates something, it's beautiful and perfect. Now, we have, even in the fallen state, the things that we see, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork, and you look at all the flowers, you look at the things, just look around you and see what God's made, all the beautiful and different animals, and like a tiger. I'm amazed when I look at a tiger every time and how beautiful that thing is. The Lord made a zebra. Boy, he made a zebra just to confuse us, didn't it? Have you ever tried to put two zebras together and see if their stripes are the same? Man, the Lord just does wonderful things like that and shows his creativity and what a wonderful God he is. And I admire him, and you should too. We have a wonderful God. But when he made man, He made him for his pleasure. He didn't say that he made anything. He said everything else was good, but he didn't say that he made anything else for his pleasure and glory. Not that I can, not that I remember. He made man. It says specifically that man was created for God's pleasure and for his glory. And then, it also, man's past state, when he was made, he was created in God's own image. He was made out of the dust of the ground, and he was made upright. He was made upright. He wasn't like he is today in his present state, and that's what we're studying right now. We began last lesson, but man was made upright. He was upright. He was moral. He thought right things. He was honorable and honest. They were kind to one another. Everything was right. It was decent, ethical, good, honest, and honorable, virtuous and true man was. He was also endowed with intelligence. And you can imagine how smart Adam was that God gave him his intelligence, his intellect, gave him his mind. Now, that excites me because the Lord, in the Scriptures, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the second Adam. And the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. In other words, we're going to end up with a perfect mind similar to what God gave Adam in the beginning when it was perfect. When he was perfect, not it, but when he was perfect. I guess a brain could be an it, yeah. But anyway, man was endowed with intelligence. Man was wonderfully made, and also he was given wide dominion, the entire earth, and he was given the earth to dwell on. He said, the Lord said, spread out and make a whole bunch of y'all. And he gave man dominion over all the animal kingdom. And all these nuts running around talking about animals are more important than people. That's just what they are. They're nuts. They ought to be in a circus. They're clowns. And they ain't got no idea what they're talking about. Animals are important, but when it comes down to life, an animal is different than a different creature than a man. And the Lord said man is more important than animals to him. So they ought to be more important to us. The Lord said for us to respect the animal's life and to honor an animal's life that's in it. But he said when you kill one, eat it. Every man is derived from one blood. We read that. We also read that, just got through talking about that man is superior to animals. The Lord said that. He said, fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. The Lord set a precedence there of what was more important. And he said that a human being is more valuable than sparrows. And he was talking about the animal kingdom, not just sparrows. He was using sparrows because he was talking about that our Heavenly Father notices when one sparrow falls to the ground. He notices that. He knows about it. And he knows the very hairs of our head. He knows the count of the hairs of our head. And he was giving an example of what to count important and what not to count important in this life. And while we're in the body. So we went down through there and we studied that. About man's past. Man, the measure of all things. Man was made a living being. A living being. Now, I've looked in the Scriptures and I've tried to find, and I'm just going to mention this, but I can't really say for sure, but I think I've not found in the Scriptures where the Bible says that animals have souls. Animals do have spirits, and they have flesh, the Bible says. And the Bible says that when animals die, it says that their spirit goes downward, and a man's spirit goes upward and back to God who gave it. So the Lord created the animals. And they didn't get a soul. They don't have a soul. They have a spirit. So But the Lord made man with a soul. Our very being, who we are. Now, don't go running saying that Brother Thurman said this and Brother Thurman said this is our study and we're studying. And if you know different, send me something and show it to me in the scriptures. And I'll believe it if the scriptures say it. But I don't find anything saying that an animal has a soul. He has a spirit, or they have a spirit, but they don't have a soul, not from where I see. But having to do with man, he does. God breathed his very own breath into man's nostrils, and man became a living soul. And God's breath, of course, when we look into the scriptures, a lot of times the wind and breath have to do with the Holy Spirit, with God the Holy Ghost. And when we get into studying some more things about the Holy Ghost, it gets interesting about God's breath and air and pneuma, you know, like pneumatic air-powered tools and things like that. So that gets interesting. But anyway, man was made wonderfully. David said it was fearfully and wonderfully made. And even doctors say that the human body's not built to die. It's built to live forever. And I think that's interesting that a person that opens up the human body and looks at it and how it functions and all the intricate things about the human body. And I don't know very much about it, but when I read about things and I see how things work and I hear people talking about it and all this intelligence getting so smart and getting down to the nano things and stuff like that, human body is something else. And God just molded it out of some dirt, out of some dust. Just molded it right out of the dust and then breathed life into it, breathed his breath into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. But God made that body out of dust. The Lord is wonderful. He can do anything. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And then we got into man, the present state. And that's where we are presently. It's talking about man today. Man, the measure of all things. Is that really what man is? The measure of all things? He was. He was in the beginning in our past bit of study right there. Yes, he was. God made him perfect. But man in the present state is in two different types of conditions and two different types of state in this present state. We talked about the first part of it being the sinful state of man. It's a result of Adam's disobedience. When Adam and Eve sinned, death fell on them, a curse fell on them, and Adam's seed was cursed. It doesn't matter. Anybody that comes and descend, or comes from Adam's seed, which is all man, all one blood, any human being that's born that comes from Adam's seed is cursed. Man's not cursed because he is sinful. He's sinful because he's cursed. There's a difference. There's a difference. So the sinful state that man's in today, every man, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, is a result of Adam's disobedience. It comes down from Adam. You say, well, it's Adam's fault. No, it's not all Adam's fault. Adam sinned, and that's where it started. But you sin because you choose to. Because you choose to. And the Lord has made provision for all this. That's how wonderful he is. But you see how all this is coming together and it's just molding right together. And you can see how God said, okay, I need to fix this problem. And he did. And he done it in only a way that God could do it. But man's present state is a result from Adam's disobedience. And because of Adam's disobedience, makes all men sinners and under the curse. Every one of us. Every one of us. The Bible says the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. As soon as they be born, speaking lies. But our God is so fair that, and He is so just that He will not condemn a sinner until that sinner has knowledge of good and evil and deliberately sins against Him. It brings physical death to man. What brings physical death to man? Well, the sinful state of man, the present state that man is in right now, it brings physical death. You know how many people have died that have died? Every one of them. That's all man's doing, is running to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for some way to stay alive. That's the bottom line of everybody's existence. It's like you go and you see this great big anthill and you get a stick and stir it up on the top and millions of ants come pouring out of there like a volcano and they're running all over the place. That's just what mankind looks like. Running all over the stinking place. And what are they doing? Looking for a way to stay alive. Because death's coming. It's there. And it's coming. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All have sinned. It brings physical death to man. All right, what else? It makes man spiritually dead. When Adam fell, the part of him that was spiritual died. It died, the spiritual part of him. And he was no longer able to be associated with the Lord like he was before, without blood sacrifice and without some way of God not having to deal with him in a judicial way and destroy him. Because God is against sin no matter what anybody says. God hates sin. God is against evil and He's against unrighteousness. The Lord is angry at the wicked every day, the Bible says. But the Lord is so smart and so long-suffering and temperate with us that He thought that thing out and He made a way for us to be able to get out of it and not have to come under His judgment. He put somebody else under His judgment that was innocent. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And anybody that puts their trust and their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and His innocent payment will not come under the wrath of God and the judicial judgment of God because of them being a sinner and sinful. Because God cannot and will not have sinful things around Him. He's holy. And I love Him because of His dignity that He will not change. He stays holy and remains holy and enjoys being holy. And we're going to admire Him. When we get to see Him in all His glory, like Jesus prayed for us in John chapter 17, He said, "Father, I will that they be where where I am, they may be here also." I'm boogering it up a little bit, but that they can be with me, so that they can see me in all my glory that I had before with you, before I came. And we get to see that. And when we see Him, it's going to be wonderful. It makes man spiritually dead. What does? His sinful state in this present state that man's in. So man's the measure of all things has changed a little bit, hasn't it? Since Adam sinned, man's state is not the same as it was in Eden anymore. He's in a sinful state. And he's under the wrath of God. There's another state in man's present state right now. And some men are under it or in that state. And that is the redeemed state of man, the born-again state. There is a sinful state that all men are in, but there are some that have escaped that sinful state. They are no longer under the penalty of sin and in that sinful state. They still have the body, which is a whole other study that you'd be interested in listening to, because it's a good study, talking about man's state and his state versus his status, two different, whole different things. And when you become born again, you become part of God's family. You're no longer a stranger to the Lord. You're no longer a sinner. You're one of his sons. You are a saint that sins. Completely different scenario. And like a preacher one time said, there's a whole big difference in falling down inside of an airplane and falling out of an airplane. Big difference. Same thing with somebody that is in a sinful state in man's present state at this moment and at this time in history, right now. In this dispensation, in this age that we're living right now, 2022, since Adam until now, 2022, man has been in a sinful state. And God has dealt with man in various different ways as far as his salvation and as far as escaping his judgment. We are in a dispensation such that is called the gospel of the grace of God. This is one of the easiest ways to get out of God's judgment. The easiest way in all of the Bible's salvation ways, that dispensations that God saved men in, this is the easiest way that man can get saved right now. And that's trust in his Son. As soon as the Lord comes and the rapture happens, things are going to change. Salvation's going to be different. Yeah. Just like it was in the Old Testament. Just like it was during Abraham. Just like it was during Moses. I mean, there were certain things that happened that people could not even get into heaven, even though they were declared righteous at their death. They had to go to paradise. I mean, God is very specific, but he's working this thing out. And he has done it. The Lord said, "It is finished." Jesus Christ on the cross, he said, "It is finished." He finished what needed to be done for man, people that want to come to the Father. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that's Jesus' words. And what a privilege. What an honor. What an opportunity. But in the redeemed state is another state. Besides the sinful state all men are in, a man can accept the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he can turn into what is the redeemed state of man in this age, right now, in his present state. That all the Christians that have been born again, all of the Bible-believing Christians, the ones that really accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and the Lord knows it, and they're saved and born again, they are in the redeemed state, a born-again state. They are children of God. They are the sons of God. They're called the bride of Christ. the bride of Christ. And that's Jew, Gentile, anybody. No matter what race you are, no matter what age you are, no matter what language you speak, no matter what color you are, no matter. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will be born again according to God's Word. He made that possible through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ's blood pays for everything, one time for all. Even a lost man's sins are paid for. But they're still in the courtroom, and he hasn't come to claim them yet through Jesus Christ. And if he doesn't come, he's not going to be born again. He's going to be under the wrath of God and show up in God's court. And the Lord, he's already guilty because he didn't come to claim the free gift. He's already guilty. So when he shows up in court at the white throne judgment, he's just going to go for sentencing. But the redeemed state, there's the sinful state. But when a man is born again, there's something that is the redeemed state. And I'm glad I'm part of that, aren't you? Well, what about the redeemed state? Well, first thing is that it originates in God's love. All these people that walk around talking about God is love and love is God and lovey-dovey, warm fuzzy and all this kind of stuff have absolutely no idea what they're talking about when they talk about God's love. A lot of times in the Old Testament, a lot of times the Lord has killed people because of his love. God's love is perfect. It ain't like man's fakey-fakey kind of artificial theatrical love. Man is a corrupt kind of love, has a corrupted kind of love. God's love is perfect and it's holy. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17, for God so loved, past tense. Now get that. Let's back up. For God so loved, past tense. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, past tense, that whosoever believeth in him, that's past, present, or future tense, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's already done it. It's already accomplished. Jesus said it's finished. Everything's done that needs to be done. Here it is. Do you want it? Take it. If you don't take it. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Why not? Because the world was already condemned. He sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's why Jesus came. Was to finish up what needed to finish up the Father's plan as far as the sacrifice. Jesus brought the blood and the flesh. And it was torn, his flesh was torn, and his blood was spilled. Innocent blood. For all mankind, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why did he do it? So people wouldn't perish. And they could have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, one thing to notice in this verse concerning God's love is that it is it's a past tense context. The love of God has already been completely and thoroughly been demonstrated in his willingness to give over his only begotten Son for the suffering and bloodshedding for all of mankind's sins. And it's not going to happen again. Nor is there anything that can improve on it. Jesus said, it is finished. John chapter 19, verse 30, when Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he's hanging on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. It is finished. And that is precisely what he meant. It is finished. You can't add to it. You can't take nothing away from it. You can't replace anything about it. You can't change anything about it. God did it. It was God's plan. God perfectly and precisely carried out that plan all the way from when Jesus was the Word before he came and was implanted into Mary's womb by God the Holy Ghost. And then born of the flesh, born into flesh, came into the world, lived 33 and a half years, and went and become the Lamb of God. Went and died the Lamb of God. Resurrected, was buried, resurrected, and ascended back to the Father. A perfect plan, already been demonstrated, already finished. You know, his demonstration of love, wanting you to be saved and come to him, and providing you a way, is done. You either come or you don't. But this business today that God accepts you as you are outside of his Son is a big, fat, stinking lie. You're going to be surprised, folks. God doesn't accept anything, anybody, anyhow, anywhere outside of his Son, Jesus Christ. The Lord made the sacrifice through his Son. He said, "This is my Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And anybody, really, anybody that tries to get into God's family or tries to get born again outside of Jesus Christ is an insult to the Father. God does not accept sinful man any old way he is outside of his Son. If you come to God, you come to God his way or no way. You know, don't forget in Psalm chapter 7, verse 11, the Bible says, "God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day." God's great love is real, but not to be toyed with. All these folks that think they're going to play around and remain unsaved and get another opportunity and get saved right at the end of their life and blobbity-blabbity and all that so they can live in their sinful state and wallow around with the hogs, they're going to be surprised. They're walking on real thin ice. And when that ice breaks and they fall through, they're in eternity for eternity, and their judgment is done when they pass through that door. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." Notice again, it's past tense. The whole reason that man even has an opportunity to be back with God is because of his love. That's true. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved," past tense, "loved us." There ain't nothing else God is going to do or can do or is willing to do to show you that he loves you. He's already demonstrated it. And all these people that want signs and speaking in tongues and blabbity, blibbity, blabbity, blab, and all this other stuff that goes on is just a bunch of theatrical hogwash. It don't mean nothing when it comes to salvation. Some people put a bunch of fish hooks in their back and hook strings up to it and pull great big rocks and tear their skin and stuff like that, think that they're pleasing God. They're not pleasing him one bit. Matter of fact, God's looking down there saying how stupid that is. Look how ignorant and stupid that is. I gave my Son, and this fool over here is tearing that rotten, vile flesh of his that he's got wrapped around him and thinking that's going to please me and get my judgment off of him. And all the other ways that man tries to impress the Lord. Man, not only in a sinful state, in this present state that man is in, but he's in a redeemed state. The Lord has done everything, folks. Now, the first thing is that it originates in God's love. What else? Well, it provides complete salvation, the whole package. Now, there's people, I answer a lot of questions on some of these things that people ask about salvation. There's a lot of people out there that do not have any idea. I mean, they know about God, they know about Jesus, they know about heaven, but it's all mixed up. The devil's got it all mixed up and all kinds of different ideas out there. And then you got all the devil's crowd running around just waiting for an opportunity to throw something in there to trip somebody or to try to make a fool out of somebody. And all these fools running around and messing up God's work and messing up truth getting to people. The Lord will make make things even for them one day for sure. But people do not know that this salvation that Jesus brought, and they don't know the plan of salvation. They're not being taught it. They don't know. Maybe you don't know the whole intricate part of salvation, the ins and the outs, and what. There's a lot of stuff that went on when you got saved. A lot of stuff. In God's courtroom, talking about salvation, imputation, redemption, reconciliation, propitiation, all these things had to go on at your salvation. God took care of it all. It's complete. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Isn't that the truth? Paul says that we're just as good as in heaven already. He also says, as far as being in this body, in this world, if this is all we had to look forward to when it comes to Jesus Christ, we are more miserable than all men. He said, if in this life, and people running around putting on this theatrical show in their life like this world is really something. This world is really something. We're going to save the platypus. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Man, the measure of all things. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to save the environment. No, you ain't. God's going to burn it all the way down to the elements because it's cursed. But as far as salvation, aren't you glad that the Lord provided salvation good enough and powerful enough to get us all the way home, all the way to heaven? I am. How anyone knowingly would want to deliberately be the enemy of God and refuse God's gift for sin has to be, as God says, a fool. Psalm chapter 14, verse 1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good." And there's another place in Scripture that is written almost exactly like that. I think it's in Isaiah. What else? Well, it provides complete salvation, talking about the redeemed state of man, not the sinful state. And these are the two states that every man on this planet is in right now, one of these two states. There are none else. The redeemed state of man, it originates in God's love, and it provides complete salvation, the whole package. You don't need to add anything to it, and you don't need to subtract anything from it. It's absolutely perfect and acceptable to God the Father to forgive your sins and cleanse you and make you a son of God and adopt you into His family and give you eternal life and come get you and take you to heaven later. What else? It's accomplished by Christ's death. That's how it's done. Period. Period. You'll not find anything else, nowhere in the Scriptures, no how, nowhere, no place, of any other inclination of anything other than Christ's death being what does the work of salvation. What is the payment for salvation? There is nothing else. No fish hooks, no Buddha, no Catholic different gods, a big toe god, the this god, the that go, a lying god, this god, the that god. You can go in the Catholic store and buy them all and take them home and pray to them whenever your big toe hurts. You can pray to the big toe god. Little idols that they make, and in case you break one, you can go down to the store and buy another one. None of that. Christ's death. And this thing that the Catholics do in this transubstantiation about changing Christ, changing that bread and that wine into literal body of Christ and His blood is a bunch of hogwash. It's not true and it's not scriptural nowhere. They use some scripture in there to make it sound like that's what God's saying, but He's not saying. The Lord said one time and He did it with a body. He didn't do it with a cup and a piece of bread. We know what the cup and the piece of bread is all about that the Lord was talking about in Corinthians. He said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. And then He took the cup, and in the same manner He said, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament shed for all men. And it's symbolic. Ain't nothing literal about it at all. And it doesn't change into anything. Except like what the Lord said. It changes into, and is cast out in the drought. In other words, you dispose of it in the bathroom. It's bread. It's wine. The fruit of the vine. It's accomplished by Christ's death. Man's redeemed state. 1 Peter chapter 1, listen to this. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, Catholics and everybody else, including Rachel, Jacob's wife, sitting on that thing, stole it from her daddy. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. You ought to see the people that's, like I was telling you a while ago about answering some of these questions. There's some, you know, I find some of these places that where people ask questions about Christianity and God and heaven and hell and all that, and give them scripture. And all these people, that there are so many people out there that absolutely hate and despise God. They hate His guts. And they do everything that they possibly can. You know, I mean, I don't know if you've ever run into one, but they are. There are people out there that absolutely hate God. They hate the thought of Him. And they do everything they can to help the devil out, and they claim that they're not scared of hell, and they don't believe in hell, they don't believe in God, but yet they do all these works to try to hinder his work. Messed up bunch of magpie nest garbage. John chapter 6 verse 51 says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. How's it getting plainer than that? I could read that to a 5-year-old and she could tell me what that means. Well, that's Jesus, Brother TV. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's it. He's the door. You want in, you got to come through him. His way or the highway. His way, no way. His way or no way. That's it. And if you go into eternity without going his way, you're in trouble, man. But we're not. We're born again. And we're unashamed of it, aren't we? Matter of fact, we are thankful to our Lord for saving us, because we really didn't have anything to do with it, did we? He saved us. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11 said, and this is the record. That's that Bible you got sitting right there in front of you. You got a record of it that God gave you. You got it written down. Written down for you in writing. And this is the record. Record of what? That God hath given to us eternal life. And how do you get it? And this life is in his Son. 1 John 5:11. Man's state in this dispensation right now that we live in is in two different states. It's either in a sinful state or either in a born-again state, like the Bible says, a redeemed state. That's what we are in. That's why we're studying God's Word, because we want to know about our Savior and about His Word and what His mind is about things, because of the great love wherewith He loved us. What else? Well, it fulfills the new covenant. And not only is accomplished by Christ's death, it provides the whole complete salvation package. It's not partial, it's complete. From beginning to end. You don't have to do nothing. The Lord's already taken care of the whole thing. And it originates in God's love. But it fulfills the new covenant. The Lord said in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22, let me read that to you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 through 24. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Better things. It's a new covenant. The Old Testament and the New Testament. The New Testament is the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice. That's the new covenant. What else? Hebrews chapter 8. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8 through 13 says, for finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them out of the land and led them out of the land of Egypt. Because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. And of course, he's talking about the covenant that he's making with Israel, not under the law, but changing it to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they haven't yet recognized him, and they won't until in the tribulation period. But then we see in Acts during the transition that the Gentiles, through the Apostle Paul, were brought into it, which is us, brought into that salvation. All right? And that's us, the gospel of the grace of God. Anybody can be saved now in this time period. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6, the Bible says, But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. You see, in the Old Testament, it was faith and works. It was faith and works. You not only had to believe in God, but you had to perform. You had to do the works. And depending on whether you were righteous or whether you were unrighteous when you died is where you went. And that's the way it's going to be in the New Testament. Or not in the New Testament, but in the tribulation period. That's why I tell you it's so important that you be born again and that people be born again in the gospel of the grace of God, this age of grace right now that the Lord Jesus Christ has already paid for. Because in the tribulation period, things change. It's not salvation by grace alone. It's by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and works. In the tribulation period, you have to hold out until the end. Yep, not me. I take the Lord Jesus Christ. If Christians did not have anything else to praise the Lord about every day, they should praise Him for the new covenant. The new covenant, by the Lord's choice and the Lord's design, shines His wonderful grace and mercy forth like none other. The Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ as mediator, and God the Holy Ghost following up and being our teacher and our comforter, all brought about this plan to forgive the sinner and take away the sins of the repentant and get him all the way to heaven. It's complete. You don't have to do nothing except believe and confess the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord says He'll take care of everything else. It's already taken care of. There are so many people in the world trying to get to heaven and trying to get God's favor by the old covenant ways and are going to wind up in hell. Jesus is the way. Well, what else about this redeemed state? Well, it fulfills the new covenant. The new covenant. That's what's going on now. There is no Old Testament. There is an Old Testament, but there's not any old active Testament. Old Testament under the law going on right now, not even for the Jews. It's going to be reinstated during the tribulation period, but now you can work all you want to and live by all the Ten Commandments that you want to, but it don't mean nothing. You're going to go to hell if you've not believed on Jesus Christ. What else? Well, it's entered in the redeemed state of man. The redeemed state, the born-again state, is entered into by the new birth. You have to be born again. The Bible says in John chapter 3, now listen to this, and if you're already born again, then just learn along with me so that we have what we need to be able to give a good answer to people, right? Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh, that's the water, and that which is born of the Spirit, that's God the Holy Ghost, is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Well, how many of you already been born by water? Every one of us. Our mother carried us in a sack of water, didn't it? And her water broke and we were born. We were born by water. Okay. Well, ye must be born again. What's the new birth? What's being born again? Spiritually. You have to be born by God the Holy Ghost. Your spirit has to be reborn. It died when Adam sinned. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. It's a great mystery. But it's true, isn't it? You've been born again? You know that you're born again? Do you remember? You know when that change came? You know when God the Holy Ghost moved in and is living and residing in your body? We're still learning, aren't we? But it's true. All right. Well, let's pause and examine what's been said in this portion of our study so far. How has man come out? Man, the measure of all things. How's he come out? Well, he went from being perfect, and then he fell and turned into a rotten, degraded, despicable state. And then the Lord intervened, sent his Son, and made a complete plan called the New Testament, the New Covenant, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is man still the beautiful, impressive one made by God himself? Now I'm asking an honest question. Is he? Is he still the beautiful, impressive one made by God himself? Is he still the measure of all things? Seeing man in his present state, which is, from the fall even until now, what has happened? Does man have the right to boast of his being before others and God? Man, there's some people stand up and, I mean, some people say some of the most blasphemous things to God, directly to God. Should he think of himself as being the measure of all things? Should man think that way? The measure of all things? Well, look at me. Look what I can do. Look at this. Look at that. Look at this. Look at that. And all the stuff that we've studied and read in God's Word up till now. According to the present state above and what we've been studying, man's in one of two states now. He is no longer the pure image of God that he once was. He's cursed. He's tainted through and through. He's in a sinful, lost state. The Bible says in Luke, and Luke chapter 19:10, there it is, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So you got to be lost That's who Jesus is looking for. Lost people. He's not talking about the ones that are the measure of all things and think they are, because that's the past. According to the present state above, man's in one of two states. He's no longer the pure image of God that he once was. He's cursed and he's tainted through and through. He is a sinful, lost state. Jesus said he come to seek and to save that which is lost. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 says, but if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. That's not all. Man now is not only cursed with a curse and lost, he's in a state where God's wrath is upon him. John chapter 3, verse 36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Romans chapter 9, verse 22 says, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Man's state has changed. He's definitely not in the past state when he was the measure of all things, when God created him. But he's in a fallen state. If man does not get out from under God's wrath, he will inherit the second death. That's what the Bible says. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, listen to it. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, that pretty well got all of us, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is a second death. Now that's what the Bible says, and that ought to scare the britches off of everybody. But there are some people out there that will laugh and giggle and mock and scoff at that statement and say there is no God, and God is stupid and he's a blankety blank, and I mean they're saying some pretty bad stuff. And they don't believe that. They're not going to believe it, even though they know in their hearts it's true. They deny it. And they're going to burn for it. That's one of the two states that are in this present state of man. Man's present state. He's in a sinful state. And unless he receives the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to remain in that sinful state. But when he does receive the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on him, he moves into a redeemed state and no longer a sinner, but a saint, a son of God. Still in the body, yes, but a son of God. Thank the beautiful wisdom of the Lord for coming up with this plan, huh? That provided the possibility for the second state of man above, the redeemed state. This is the other state that man is in this present state period. This state, the redeemed state, is a state that's been presented, a state that has presented the gospel of Jesus Christ about his death, burial, and resurrection on the third day. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 is indeed the gospel of the grace of God. You want to know what the gospel is? It's not for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Period. There's your gospel right there. 1 John chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. Believed on, accept the Lord Jesus Christ and his payment to the Father for that sinful state that we're in. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Let me read you one more portion of Scripture here, and we'll go ahead and close out this lesson concerning man's present state, which is in two different ways. A sinful state and a redeemed state. One or the other. You are one or the other. Everybody is one or the other in this present world that we live in. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, what did it say? If you'll confess him, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, believing that the Lord raised Jesus Christ from the dead in your heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You will call upon him if you believe on him. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. This salvation is for everybody. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's simple. That's what the Lord said. He didn't say nothing about no fish hooks in the back. He didn't say nothing about no five Hail Marys and blabbity, blabbity, blah. He didn't say nothing about that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said Jew, Greek, Gentile, anybody. The gospel of the grace of God, the present state of man. You want to be saved? You can be. Scripture's told us how to. And if you are saved, then we ought to be doing what we're doing right now, studying God's Word and learning about Him and appreciating Him and living for Him and waiting on every opportunity the Lord gives us to speak about Him. And just tell Him what He's done for you. Nobody can deny that. I mean, they can, but they're idiots when they do. When somebody tells about what Jesus Christ, most people want to hear what the Lord has done. Hey, you know what the Lord did for me? Most people will turn the head to that and listen. But there's some people right off the bat, I mean, with their wicked hearts and their wicked minds, automatically go into a rebellious, defiant state and want to mock what the Lord has done for you. But they can't. I mean, they can speak whatever they want to speak, but they can't say or prove that God didn't do that for you. You see? And besides, that makes them liars, because I know what the Lord did for me, don't you? You are no longer a sinner when you're in this redeemed state. You are a saint that sins, nevertheless a saint. He still has to deal with sin. We still have to deal with sin because we're still in the body. Because of our body, we still dwell in. But your soul and your spirit are redeemed. They've been circumcised from your flesh. A spiritual circumcision that went on. That's another part of your salvation. You are now a child of God in the family of God with all the promises that the Lord has promised to look forward to. So quit doubting. Believe your Bible and believe what God has said and rest in it. And get around people that love God, not the mockers and the God haters and everybody else and all this worldly nonsense that goes on. And get around people that love God and talk with them and be encouraged. Now, there's some Christians that won't encourage you because of the way that they're living outside of God's will. And the Bible tells us what to do with them, too, not to eat with them. To count them still as brothers, but not to fellowship with them, because they'll rub off on us and drag us in the world. Simply put, in this present state, man is either saved or lost. One or the other. In the beginning, he was perfect. He was the man of the measure of all things. In this present state, he's a sinner. He's in a sinful state. But the Lord has provided a way out so that he can be in a redeemed state. And these are two states that every human being on this planet breathing and drawing air right now is in. One of them two. We'll stop right there. The man, the measure of all things. What do you think? Is he the measure of all things? Things have changed, hasn't it? Things have changed. It's no longer man standing up and poking his chest out and everything else because he's innocent, because he's like the Lord in Eden. And he's not poking his chest out because he thinks he's somebody. He's poking his chest out because he is. God created him. He's perfect. He's the image of God. But that changed. Now he's trash can goo, vile state that not even the Lord can have anything to do with. And the Lord made a plan to get us back into the redeemed state, in which we are humbly thankful for. And the Bible says for us not to think too highly of ourselves than we ought to think, and condescend to men of low estate. And the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Man, the measure of all things. Changing, isn't he? That's okay, though. If the Lord is for us, who can be against us, right? Amen. Well, we're going to stop right there, and the next lesson that we're going to get into, portion of our lesson, is going to be man, the final state. Man, the final state. Good stuff, isn't it? I told you I was going to give you them scriptures, and I just remembered it. How about we get them on the next one? Okay? We'll get those scriptures. If you want them, email me. I'll send them all to you. You'll have them right there in front of you. And matter of fact, you can have all these lessons as we go down through there, and you'll have the whole complete set. And don't cost you nothing. Just the will to want them. Get a hold of them if you want them. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.